Oh, hello. So now we've been on the back. We've already been in the back seat of a, what do you call those things? Jitneys?
Golf buggy.
Golf? Now, wait. Now, if you ever do a third band, what do you think of golf buggy as a name for a band?
As a band name? Golf buggy. It's a good band name.
What would they play?
Yacht music.
Yacht music's great. Yeah, yeah, golf buggy.
Yeah.
Okay, interview done. Thanks. Would you
Goodbye.
It was fun. It was so cool. Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name's Courtney Barnett. I'm from Melbourne in Australia.
Is there a Mel... Okay, let's get to the important stuff. I never thought about this. Is there a Melbourne anyplace else?
That's a really good question. There must be, because Australia is, you know, a copy of England.
So I like revisionist history. Speaking of history, it's a lot more fun because when you read a novel, the stuff between the lines is the coolest stuff. So just before we really dig into stuff, is there anything that you've said in these gazillions of interviews, either I wish someone would ask me this, or some like thing that everybody misses? And by the way, you have the option of lying here on this one.
Well, I'm not one to lie. I try to be pretty honest, but it's funny. Like a lot of media people tend to just copy what each other say, and I've noticed that that's a bit of a trend, and that's fair enough because, you know, you gather your information and you copy it from somewhere else, and that's where you get it. But yeah, I feel like a lot of those kind of earlier songs that I've already done are kind of observational and, you know, everyday, mundane, blah blah blah, all that shit everybody says. Observational.
Amazing,
yeah, you've got it.
Amazing,
you've got it.
Right?
But like, a lot of it is pretty, you know, it's pretty, am I allowed to swear? Like, oh no. It's just, I mean, it's just pretty dark, some of it. Like, it's pretty depressing, and like, I've spent the last few years of my life being in a pretty kind of depressing place, you know? So, and a lot of people just, I don't know if they intentionally avoid it, or maybe they just don't acknowledge it, or they just don't see it. But maybe because of the sarcasm, like sarcasm is the lowest form of it's dark humor, man. Yeah,
that's what gets you through, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. And I mean I don't want to sound so negative that it's like depressing, but the world is a negative place, and I try not to be negative, but to get through it, I have fun, but you know, you have to look at everything with a bit of a kind of dry, sarcastic kind of dark humor, because otherwise you might as well just like be in bed every day and hope that the world's gonna end, because the world's a bad place.
So it's kind of like, he said, segueing, gardening and having an allergic reaction as you do it.
Well, gardening's nice, and gardening takes you back to nature, and gardening takes you back to, you know, just fresh kind of nature and happiness and all of those things, and for just a second you can forget about those things. So it's kind of positive in a way.
But, you know, and you know, it's funny because I didn't think of it until you really said it, but when you really dig into the songs, even if there's, you know, History Eraser, you can have Vermouth, you can have the Stones, but when you really think of what that, even the title of that song, you're getting right, you're not wasting any time there, are you?
Well, I guess, I mean, History Eraser is kind of like a dream song, you know, where lots of things happen and it's kind of like a... another world, otherworldly kind of situational and things that maybe that I don't want to discuss in a real life situation kind of happen in the storytelling kind of way.
You had this great quote in a recent interview where you said you were basically, what you were doing was figuring out your feelings until you actually understood. And I thought that was extremely poignant. But you have a place to do that. I think the great thing about you saying that, you know, it's been, quote, a dark few years, you have the ability to really work that out in a way that a lot of people can be supportive, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm only 26 years old, like, and I don't know if that's old or young, like, compared to, if you, you know, compared to anyone else's life, it's old or it's young. To me, it's just me. Like, it's, I'm 26 and I've experienced what I have, and I don't know everything in the world, and I'm still learning how to deal with my feelings and how to deal with other people and all that stuff. Like, even some of my friends who are like 40 years old, and some of them who are like 56 years old, and my parents who are like my dad tells me every day, he's like, I still don't know what I want to do with my life. You know? And I'm like, what? You're my dad. You should know what you want to do with your life. What? Like, you know, you...
Yeah, what do you do with that, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like no one knows. And everyone has to learn that no one knows anything more than anyone else does. And your parents don't know anything more than you do. Well, maybe a little bit, but...
Have you gleaned anything when you're reading? Because you've been reading a lot of biographies about people you obviously respect that are also music people. So have you gotten anything, have you pulled anything out of that that's going to kind of move you forward?
I think the constant lesson from all of those books, like Paul Kelly, The Go-Betweens, like, and I read the Chrissy Amphlett book, you know, from the Divinals and everything, like all that stuff. It's, I think the lesson is that there is no lesson. There's, everyone does everything their own way, and humans are, they just kind of follow their own path, and everyone's different. Like, some people are alcoholics, and some people, you know, are not. Some people, like, everyone battles with their own demons, and I think that is the lesson at the end of the day, and I don't know what to take from that, except that you have to accept everyone for who they are and yourself for who you are, and then just try and be nice to everyone. Like, that's what I've learned so far, and I'm 26, so maybe I'm wrong.
So let's get this over with, because this is the trickiest thing that you go through every single day, which is two things. Yeah. The buzz, right? The buzz versus the reality, right? And the whole thing that kind of carries media and you know, and why people come to see you, right? Buzz versus that. And then the one that I am obsessed with always is the comparisons. And I said that on the way here, there was absolutely no way that I was going to talk about the comparisons. But what I want to talk about is how you get around the comparisons when, on a constant basis, you know, people are coming up to you and saying, wow, did you know that song sounded just like...
That's a really good question. I think everyone, it's nature. Like, you grow up listening to things and being inspired by things, and you either take on a part of that, or else you totally replicate a part of it, or else a bit of both, and then you create your own thing. You spit something else out, which is totally different. And lots of people, like, lots of people talk about Dylan and compare him to Woody Guthrie and blah, 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 you know. Everyone should be allowed to be their own thing. Like, everyone takes inspiration from lots of different things. Like, I take mine from classical jazz, rock and roll, they're pretty three different, slightly different things, like, not slightly, but
these two EPs, right, are your life, and there's lots of biography in there, and there's some fantasy, obviously. But you said that this new record is, quote, more focused. Do you know what more focused actually means for you?
I've got no fucking idea what I meant when I said that.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
I think what I meant was that we recorded this album over 10 days, whereas the last two EPs, one was recorded in... The first EP was recorded in one day in a friend's lounge room, and the second EP was recorded over one day, and then a month later, another day, when I had enough money to pay for the studio time. And then a month later, I had enough money to pay for the mixer. And then on top of all of that, nearly every song had a different musician playing on it. So those first 12 songs are so all over the place. Like, they've got nearly 20 musicians playing on every song, overall. And they're all in different places, and they're all recorded everywhere. And so it's all over the place. Whereas the new record, we went in and we recorded. So, that's what I mean by focus, is that we recorded in 10 days in one place with four musicians, with one engineer.
Nice.
And, one idea in mind and all of that. And so in that sense, it was more focused, I guess. In a sense.
One of the things I smiled at was when I read that, you appear on late night television and they're like, okay, and the makeup artist comes over and says, okay, this is how we want you to look. So as you go through all of this, have you kind of just said to yourself, you know what, I'm going to maintain who I am no matter what?
Well, it's just that thing, like, I don't wear makeup, so...
Oh my gosh, how could you possibly? I mean, come on. You're a woman. How could you?
And one of the number one points of, like, my music is that I sing about the things that I do and normal everyday life. And my normal everyday life is me. Like, I don't wear makeup when I go down the street or when I go out to a party. Like, it's not because I'm so beautiful that I don't have to wear makeup. It's because I'm just, I don't think about myself like that. I'm just normal looking. I just don't do that. I've got nothing, it's this whole long thing. Like, I'm not against it or I'm not for it. That's just me. Like, end of the day, that's just me. I don't do that, so I'm not gonna change myself to be like that because people say that that's what you should be.
I don't think that if someone offered you $20 billion today, the money would be nice, but I don't think you'd compromise, right?
No, exactly. I mean...
You thought about that for a millisecond.
Well, and I have, I've been offered it, and it's like, well, I could buy a really nice house and be set for life.
And be bored to tears.
Well, not even be bored to tears, just be like, well, yeah, like, you've got no room to... My number one aim is to make music and to push myself as a musician and to challenge myself and to try different things. And I, like, obviously there's a part of you that wants people to like what you do a little bit or to... You know, you want people, like, if you play at a festival like this, you want people to be in the crowd, I guess, or whatever. But the point at the end of the day is for me to try different things that challenge myself, that make me feel like, I'm learning something. Otherwise, I might as well just be at home, like... doing nothing, like doing a normal job or just being, I don't know, I don't even know what the alternative is. Yeah, doing a normal job and just being bored to death. Like, if I was doing that, I would be a mess. Like, I would just be gone.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside is the bread, and then songs by a bunch of artists in between. And it's not a playlist.